Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear fellow redeemed in Christ, God our Father is a merciful and loving God. Despite our wandering ways, he still pursues us, seeks us out, finds us, and saves us. Amen. One of God's signs to the world that his promised Savior has come is the sign of the Virgin. Behold, the Virgin shall conceive and bear a son. At this, the world scoffs. That's ridiculous, says the world. How can anyone even know such a thing? And the world laughs at God's signs and promises. In response to this, we who believe God's promises and signs, by the grace and faith that God has given us, in humble allegiance, we say to God, Amen. You are Lord. You cannot lie. Let it be done for us as you say. And as we confess our faith in God and his gifts to us, we know that this confession does not come from us. The fact that we confess it at all is a miracle given to us by Christ our Savior. If we were left to ourselves, let's face it, we are all scoffers to some degree and chalk it up as a natural result of living in a fallen world, whether it comes about by shattered trust placed in the hands of a lying car salesman, broken relationship, or mere gullibility, we quickly learn that in this life, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I'm thinking of humanity's natural distrust of things reminds me of a scene from the movie Support Your Local Sheriff, starring James Garner. Setting takes place in a lawless Wild West boomtown, where each and every sheriff has either been killed or run out of town. Garner's character, a stranger, rides into town one day and strikes up a conversation with the townsfolk who are gathered in the local hardware store. Upon hearing about the job vacancy, he announces that he'd like to apply for the position of sheriff. The mayor gets in his face and says, "This is a pretty tough town. If you're going to be sheriff here, you got to be good with a gun. You any good with a gun?" To which Garner responds, "Oh yeah, I'm pretty good with a gun. Here, let me show you." And he reaches into a barrel full of large metal washers. He takes a washer and flips it in the air like a coin. Then quick as a wink, he draws his pistol from his holster and fires a shot into the air, catches the washer in his free hand and gives it to the mayor, who looks very confused. "And what does this prove?" asks the mayor. "Well," says Garner, "I shot the bullet through the hole in the washer." The crowd laughs him to scorn and then makes him do it again with a piece of tape over the hole. When he catches the washer the second time, there's a hole through the tape. The crowd falls silent and the mayor reverently declares, "You got the job." May God our Father and Christ our Lord interact with humanity in much the same way that James Garner interacted with the townsfolk. He expects us to simply believe him for what he says. And mostly, he just lets his word stand alone. But sometimes he will suffer our unbelief and give us a sign to bolster our faith. Tonight's Old Testament reading is an interesting case. God starts out ready and willing to give evil King Ahaz a sign that will bolster his faith. But because of his insolence, God withdraws his offer and instead gives Ahaz a standalone word that demands belief for no other reason than God said it. Now, deal with it. This is an amazing passage of Scripture because it is one of maybe two or three in the entire Bible where God gives someone permission to put him to the test. We know that we're not supposed to put God to the test unless God says, "Put me to the test." This is very rare. What a privilege, what an honor that God extended a similar invitation to King Solomon once. God told Solomon that he was free to ask him for anything. Let that sink in for a moment. God told Solomon that he was free to ask him for anything, and God would give it to him. Put yourself in Solomon's shoes. What would you ask for? Wealth? Power? More wishes? Solomon asked for wisdom that he might be a good and faithful shepherd of God's flock, Israel. King David, Solomon's father, is described as a man after God's own heart. And here in Solomon's humble request, we see a shadow of David that very much pleased the Lord. In response, God gave Solomon not only wisdom beyond that of any other man, but he also gave him glory and honor, riches, and peace throughout his kingdom. God gave Solomon above and beyond anything that he could ask for or even dream of. And yes, even though Solomon's life did not end well, for he abused all that God gave him, nonetheless, God was faithful, as he has always been, always is, and always will be. King Ahaz is Solomon's descendant. Ahaz knows the story. He knows that it is not a light thing when God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says to him, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or high as heaven." Ahaz knows that this is serious business, or at least he should know. But apparently Ahaz did not inherit any of that legendary wisdom from his great-great-great-great-granddad. Instead, showing himself to be as dumb and blind as the idols he worshipped, Ahaz snubbed God with a false piety by saying, "I will not ask God, and I will not put the Lord to the test." My mind's eye, I see Isaiah here doing that squinty-eyed, furrowed brow thing in frustration, saying something like, "Yes, King Ahaz, I know. Under normal circumstances, that would be quite good, right, and salutary of you. But just one thing, this is not a normal circumstance. When God himself invites you to test him, you do what he says and test him. Is it too little for you to weary me with this? Must you also weary my God also?" Fine. "Hear then, O house of David, since you have no interest in asking for a sign, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Here God gives King Ahaz a sign that to him and the world seems ridiculous. God delights in confronting arrogance with things that to the world, for all intents and purposes, seem foolish. And Jesus once prayed to his Father, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." To the scoffers of this world, God is under no compulsion to explain himself. His response to scoffing is silence. He has said what he said. He leaves King Ahaz and all of humanity with his true immutable word. And it is enough. For truly, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Hear then God's word again and be encouraged and strengthened in your faith. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Dear friends, this night God our Father has shown us his love for you by giving you his promised sign, his beloved son Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. And despite all scoffers, God's word is true. Salvation has come. Jesus has paid for your sins, and for his sake you are forgiven. Praise be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen.